Priorities. We all have them. Some of us may not know what ours are or pay a whole lot of attention to them, but in essence, we do have them. Some of us may not even know what priority means. By definition, it is a sequence, order, a preferential rating, and that of greatest importance. Even if we do not know what priorities are, we do place things in certain orders so that we might take care of things in those orders. Perhaps it is as simple as a honey-do list, or as complex as a honey-do list, as the case may be. But you look at it and you go down that list and you say, well, these 5 things, these 10 things, these 12 things, whatever it is, need to be done. Which one am I going to do first? And then you prioritize. Well, the same thing is true in our spiritual existence. And we'll see that God has required man to prioritize. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 beginning. Part of this passage, verses 4 through 6, will be our text for today's sermon. Jesus, of course, had chosen for himself a group of people through whom the Son would come, that he might open up his love and mercy to all people. And he gave them commandments. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which your Lord, the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and all the days that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And you might read that and say, where are the priorities there? Well, first and foremost, we see that priority number one is spoken here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And as we do the things that we find, or as they did the things that they found listed beyond that or behind that, you'll see that they fall in order, even though they reflect directly toward loving God and doing his will. But as we look at our priorities today, we must ask ourselves the question, what's going to be first? Something has to be first. If you have a list of things to do, if you have a task, several tasks that must be taken care of, you must decide which one should be first. Well, according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34, we are to seek the kingdom first. In fact, part of loving God is seeking the kingdom. Jesus said there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I think all too often when we're looking at our lives and perhaps we're prioritizing, maybe even without realizing that we're doing so, we're worrying too much about life. I often talk to people, ask them about what's going on and how they are in their service to God, and they'll say, well, you know, sometimes life gets in the way. Life doesn't get in the way. We go through life. We participate in life. We are taking part of life. And while we take part in life, we need to prioritize and seek first the kingdom of God. There were those in that day that questioned that. They didn't understand it. They didn't realize the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, explained how we are to seek first the kingdom. We must forsake all for Christ. You know, when it comes down to it, it all amounts to choice. You look at this life. Everything in this life comes down to choice. You have a choice. You might say, well, you know, I've been dealt a bad hand. Perhaps I didn't have a choice in that. Well, you have a choice how you will react to that. And as you live through life, you have a choice. And that choice can be made known or manifested by forsaking all for Christ, and in so doing, seeking the kingdom first and showing our love to God. Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And all too often, as we go through this life, when we prioritize, we say, well, you know, I'm living here now, in this body, therefore I must have a house. Why not have two? I've got to have a car. Why not have two? What we have begun to do is to prioritize and put things in front of God. When we do that, our priorities are all wrong. We need to count all things lost for Christ. We need to forsake all for Christ. Well, but I might not have a new car. So, if I remember correctly, the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. When it's all said and done, a new car will not take care of your salvation. Paul said we are to count all things lost for Christ, as he was guided by the Spirit in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11, to write to those brethren there. It's something that we all need to look at and realize and understand that nothing is as important as our service to God. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul is telling them, you think you can boast? Listen to my situation. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul had stature. Paul was a prominent man in the Jewish nation. But he said, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The truth of the matter is that all will come forth from the grave. But only those who are in the proper relationship with God will be resurrected from the dead. That's what Paul wanted. That's what Paul desired. That's what the Bible teaches. But Paul is explaining to these brethren that they must be willing to give up everything for Christ. While we're here on the earth, we must do all things in the name of Christ. If we're going to prioritize, if we're going to love God, we're going to seek the kingdom first, we're going to forsake all for Christ, we'll also do all in the name of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, a very popular passage, very popular passage, but one that is not always properly applied. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. There are many people who are meeting in religious organizations today, and they are claiming that they are doing so in the name of Christ. But if we are not meeting and we are not conducting ourselves as Christ has authorized, we're not meeting in the name of Christ. It's not just to invoke the name of Christ, but to do all in the name of Christ, according to the authority of Christ, according to the word that he has given us, so that we might walk faithful to God, seeking first the kingdom, and prioritize correctly. Of course, while we're here, we must show forth love. All too often, people put love first. They say, you know, it's important to love people, isn't it? And they shake their head as they say it, because they want you to shake your head. And yes, it is true. It is important to love. But to love your brethren, to love your enemy, to love all folks. Why, isn't that what God did? Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what he would have us do? But always putting God first, prioritize. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, as Paul wrote to those Galatian brethren, those congregations in Galatia, he said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Another way of stating that is that we need to treat everybody the way we want to be treated. If you stop and think about how you want to be treated and you look at the situations and you treat your neighbor that way, you'll find out that a lot of strife goes away. But we can do that and still put God first. In fact, if we're not doing that, we're not putting God first. We must direct that love properly. As you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, we need to understand that we are in a situation whereby we might love many things. How many times have you talked to somebody about something and said, "Oh, do you know about something? Oh, I love that. I love that kind of car. I love this place. I love the mountains. I love the coast. I love this. I love that." The word love is thrown around many times without a great deal of meaning. But when we're talking about love and love for God, we need to understand the full meaning of it. And we must direct our love properly. There in that passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." All too often people say, "Well, I really worry about if I'm going to have enough to get to the end." I guarantee it. Will you have what you want? Maybe not. But you will have enough to make it to the end. It's a fact. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not in the things which we possess. We brought nothing in the world, we can't take it out. Oftentimes people worry about what we're going to leave our children. That's important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to be godly. Prioritize. But that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and hurtful lusts. And we'll talk a few minutes about the things that people put in front of God. They say here, "These things which draw men in destruction, or drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Oftentimes people have said to me, "You know, money is the root of all evil." And I usually say, when they say that, "Give me all you got." The truth of the matter is, money is not evil. But the love of money, the desire to have, is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. You can use money in a great way to serve God, to do His will, to prioritize properly. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, after godliness, after faith, after love, after patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." He says, "Then I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." We must direct our love properly. You know, the truth of the matter is, all those who love God, who faithfully serve Him, regardless of their status in this life, their financial situation, their social place on the ladder, are happy people. You know why? Because they directed their love properly. Because they have prioritized. They might not be the richest people by the way that the world defines richest, but indeed they are rich. There are things, however, that we sometimes place before God when we prioritize. What are these things? Sometimes people put people in front. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, we'll see that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't put one person over another. All too often we hear people talk about, "Well, the Lord just reached down and saved me." Really? That's not what He says in His Word. That's not how a person is saved in His Word. He's given His Word so that all might know how to be saved, so that all might know that they are to serve God, to do His will, to faithfully obey those commandments. James says there, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. This includes family. I know folks who are guilty of the situation in when family comes to visit. The Lord doesn't get visited. Well, that's my family. All too often people are hung up on the fact that because their family is blood. That they have to deal with them separately, differently, special. The truth of the matter is there's blood involved in the family of God. It's the blood of Christ. And those who are participants in that family, those who are recipients of the blood of Christ, are brethren. We cannot put other people in front of our service to God. If we do, we're serving those people. Those family. Sometimes people put wealth. We've already touched upon the love of money. In Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, we see a situation in the life of Jesus Christ. In which he needed to explain this. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Go on the website, any website that lists rich people. And as you click on their names, you can find all of their accomplishments in this world. Oh, they had a startup company, they did this, they sold that, they invested in this, and all of these kind of things, and it made them rich. Or they were some kind of whiz kid that said, hey, you know, a computer would be a nice thing, let me make one. And they're wealthy. They're rich. But what you will not find is listed there among their priorities is their service to God. They're chasing the dollar. People want wealth. They want wealth so they can impress people. Their priorities are all wrong. Because some people want wealth, they're willing to work for it. And I commend people. Everyone should work. But we should never put work ahead of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11 tells us the situation that existed. There was Solomon. He said, then I looked upon all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. Remember, you can't take it with you. Who's it going to belong to when you leave? Entertainment is another big thing that causes people to not serve God because they have improperly applied their priorities. Again, we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The writer there says, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? All too often people are too focused upon, it's not fun. They think that serving God is not fun. It's enjoyable. It doesn't have to be fun. We can't be flippant about serving God and doing His will. But entertainment has its place. There's nothing wrong with good family entertainment. There's nothing wrong with good fellowship, brethren with brethren. But we cannot put it in front of God. We must prioritize. Some people put education ahead of God. You might call it wisdom. Again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, we see these words. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to a great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than they all that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. A lot can be said about wisdom. We're running out of time this morning. I hope you don't have plans to be somewhere right now. But I want to talk about time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, a passage that is very familiar to us. But oftentimes people put time ahead of serving God or listening to what God would have us listen to. There in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. The passage goes on to say, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. And it goes on and it tells us all of these things. There is a time for everything, a place for everything. But we must prioritize properly. Put God first. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Time will take care of itself. All too often, people say, I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough time to do my Bible lesson. I didn't have enough time to come to services today because you fill in the blank. I'm sorry. Last time I checked, I got the same amount of time you got. You got the same time, amount of time I've got. Now, we don't know how long that span of time is, so we got to be ready. And the only way to be ready is to prioritize. Put God first. Very quickly, on a couple of examples from the Bible of those with priority issues. We think maybe, oh yeah, he's talking about those folks back there. I don't have priority issues. I got everything in order. Let's see some examples. Let's first look at the bad ones. It's always good to look at the bad examples first. Because when you look to the good examples, they look so much better. How about Lot's wife? She had priority issues. Why, they had to pry her out of Sodom and Gomorrah, drag her by the hand, and what did she do? She did exactly what she was told not to do, according to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. They were told, when you leave, go. Don't look back. What did she do? But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Priorities. Oh yeah, she left children perhaps. Friends. Loved ones. Who knows, she may have had a business. But God said, don't look back. The priority was getting out of there. And getting out of there with your life. The rich man in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, didn't have his priorities in order. It was a bad example. Now, we can look at that bad example and maybe not make the same mistakes. And so let's read it. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, we find, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, of course, we know what commandments Jesus was speaking of. He was speaking of the Old Testament law, that law under which Jesus lived and under which this young man lived. He saith unto him, which? Well, we see here that he doesn't have his priorities right, don't we? Which ones? Can I cherry pick? Can I pick the ones I like? No, the same thing is true today. You can't cherry pick the commandments of God. But Jesus said to him, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can you imagine this young man puffing out his chest, patting himself on the back, if you will? The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. However, he knew there was something else missing. He knew that his priorities were not in order. Because he said, what lack I yet? Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. What did he do? He went away sorrowful. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions. He had a lot. He had a lot to give up. No, the truth of the matter is he had a lot to gain. And he wouldn't give up that which he had been blessed with. Let's go to Judas. Well, when you say the word bad example, Judas springs to mind, doesn't he? In John chapter 12, verses 3 through 6, we have Judas identified. Yes, he was an apostle. He was one who was chosen of God. Chosen so that he might help carry the message of God and the glorious gospel of his son. Chosen by his son, Jesus Christ. But we'll see the identification given to him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the apostles, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Look at verse 6. This identifies him and the example that he set. This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had to bag and bear what was put therein. He was the treasurer of the disciples, if you will. But notice what it said about him. He was a thief. Did he go about stealing their money? No. Stop and think about what he did, what he put first, where he prioritized. He sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. We see that in Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16, as we continue with Judas and his bad example. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Premeditated. What were his priorities? Okay, enough of the bad examples. Let's go to the good. Let's look at Job. When you want a good example in the Bible for many, many different things, it's safe to go to see Job. Job suffered like none of us will ever suffer. He endured what we will never endure. And in all of this, we find out that he was faithful to God. He had his priorities right. Job chapter 1 and verse 1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." He feared God. He served God. In fact, Job was given counsel by his wife. Curse God and die. I say that because it is sometimes safe not to do what your wife tells you to do. However, oftentimes is the case, you better listen to the advice of the wife, because she might very well give you good advice. But Job is still a good example. Look at Job chapter 42, verses 12 and 13. We'll see the latter end of Job, after the suffering, after the pain, after the loss of all of his stuff and his children and his homes. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses." By the way, I think that's about double what he had. "And then he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters." Job was truly blessed. And you know why? He had his priorities right. He put God first. Now let's go into the New Testament. We see the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 through 27, writing to these people, writing to these brethren. He said, "Unto the Jews, I became as a Jew." Might I add right here that this information was given to him by the Spirit. This is not Paul saying. This is the Spirit saying through Paul, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." What is he telling them? He's telling them, put your priorities in order. "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." A crown which fadeth not away. He says, "I therefore so run, not as an uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What was Paul saying to these brethren? He was telling them, get your priorities in order. Put God first. Serve God. Do His will. We see the same thing taught from the Old Testament as we close in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Prioritize. Here it is right here. Number one, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring to work every judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I want to ask you a question as we prepare to close. What are your priorities? I want you to answer that question to yourself, and I want you to be honest. And I want you to consider something. While you answer that question, God already knows the answer. He sees everything, even the secret things of our hearts. What are your priorities? Is it your priority to fear God and keep His commandments? Is it your priority to love God and put Him first? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Well, perhaps this morning you've not done that. Perhaps this morning you're not a child of God. Haven't done those things which the Bible teaches us. Perhaps even you've done some things that some people have taught you and said, well, I think I've done what's right. Do you know what the Bible says? Let me tell you. The Bible says, in order to become a child of God, putting God first, showing our love to Him and serving Him, is to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Having heard the Word of God, we are to believe it. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Having heard and believed, a person is to repent. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we see, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Without believing, without repenting, your sins cannot be converted. Or your sins cannot be blotted out. You cannot be converted. He says, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In Luke chapter 3, chapter 12 and verse 8, we'll see also that we are to confess. Jesus said, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And we must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. In fact, Saul had been approached by Jesus. He had been told to go to Damascus, and there will be told thee what thou must do. Ananias came to him as directed by the Lord, and he told him what to do. He said in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord there means to do the things that the Lord has said to do, not just call upon His name. And you must be baptized to be in Christ. Having done this, you become a child of God. And sometimes that's when the real work begins. Because following that, you're to be faithful until death. How long is that? Well, are you alive? Well, it's still going on. Faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, the latter part of that says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Perhaps you've not done these things. We're going to give you the opportunity to do so in just a moment. But before you do, perhaps also there are those here who have put on Christ in baptism, and for whatever reason have allowed sin to come between them and the Lord. They need to realize that they too have a serious problem with priorities. But don't despair. God has taken care of this. He's provided for us. How? Well, we're told what to do. Those who are children of God, those who have put on Christ in baptism and have become children of God and have allowed themselves to stumble and fall, have separated themselves from God. Acts chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, Peter told Simon, the former sorcerer, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right with God. If you've done these things, your heart's not right with God. But what must you do? He says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. What are your priorities? Everybody's are a little different. But all of them should have the same thing at the first. Love God. Serve God. Obey God. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do so. As we open our songbooks and turn to the selected hymn, we're going to ask you, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to come forward, repenting of your sins, confess before men Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be baptized in water, we ask you to come. If you have any other reason that you might wish to come, we ask for you to come. We will help you. We will do so according to God's word. Let us stand and let us sing.